I just, having her around and the other ladies around, they were just fun to hang around. Like, they were like our sisters, you know.
They did do a really good job of holding us accountable and making us better men, because they would call us out, right? Like, they would be like, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. And that actually helped us a lot, too.
We were men. We were kids. We were kids. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined with our co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, you know what to do.
Yu Yu Hakusho. So, you guys know I've been talking about these live action adaptations. And now, one of the best animes ever, Yu Yu Hakusho. It's like an older anime, probably late 90s, early 2000s, but they're doing a remake of it, the animation, and they're doing a live action, and so super excited about that. I'm excited about all these live action remakes, man. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing. So again, Netflix is the one that's doing it, which is why it's giving me hope. So we got a little bit of good news on that. Bad news, flipping it, one of our favorite blaxploitation actors died this week, Richard Roundtree. So RIP to Shaft. So if you guys don't know who he is,
he's a bad,
very, very good actor. That's a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Yeah. So Shaft has passed away. So with that, and I'm just gonna let you guys know, protect Pam Grier at all costs, man. Because you know, Pam Grier is she put on a little weight, but she's still very, very much smashable. So just, you know, throw that. So we need to protect her as a 70. I think she's like 72, 73.
Rizzy, you should protect all black women.
I mean, yeah, but you know, there's some that you gotta, you know, give a little extra protection. You know? Uh-huh. Don't act like, you know, your lady and your mama don't get a little extra than all black women. I mean, so it's like the general population, Pam Grier and, you know, Megan Good and those folks.
You just throwing random names out there, making good. Okay. There's a hierarchy.
Yeah, we there get it. Definitely is. Mm. So, only other thing that I had is I want to shout out to the UAB National or Black Alumni Network, Black Alumni Weekend, that group. So we had Black Alumni Week last week, and it went, man. I'm so proud of the network, the association, everybody that came through. Chase, you did a great job, man. Just want to shout you out on all the events and everything like that. We had a great time. If you guys went to UAB, I know we had a lot of alums that listened. If you guys went to UAB and you didn't make it back up for that, you missed it, man. So next year, want to make sure you guys come out, hang out with us, have a good time. And then get ready for homecoming in 2 weeks. And so we'll be right back at it. We've got an event scheduled with the BSAC. So that's Black Student Awareness Committee undergraduate group here at UAB. They're doing an event on Friday night. They're calling it Black Nick, kind of a little take on Freak Nick. So we're going to be on campus with that. It's a little 2000. I hate that the throwback parties now are our generation. That makes me feel a little old. I'm not even gonna lie about that, but 90s and 2000 parties are the thing now. So I'm just going into my closet and grabbing stuff and be like, yep, this looks about right, and I'm going out to the party. So we'll be out doing that, and then Saturday we're doing a big old tailgate with the MPHC for the game. So you guys come out, hang out with us on the 3rd and the 4th, and just let's have some fun for homecoming. But good job on Black Alumni Week, man.
Very cool. So my Apple TV free trial ends in December. So I need everybody who has suggestions on shows to please let me know. I've already watched Hijack with Idris Elba. Pretty good for a series to be based on a hijacking. It made, 8 episodes out of it. So it was pretty cool. And my other show, The Morning Show, is back which I like with Jennifer Aniston and that other girl. Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. I love how they deal with very nuanced topics. Like the last time I spoke about this show, I told you how they talk about in a very smart, both sides nuanced way about the Me Too movement. Yep. And this year they're dealing with racism and the fallout from COVID and things like that. So it's pretty cool. So check that out. I think that's all I got.
You watch Swagger, right? So that was on Apple TV Plus. Yes. Swagger's on there.
Yeah, I watched that. Yep.
And if you haven't watched Ted Lasso, the first two seasons are really, really good. Third season is a little bit of a slog, but they canceled it after the third season. I see why. But the first two seasons of Ted Lasso, chef's kiss.
They really canceled it. I mean, I've never watched Ted Lasso, but I've heard so many things about it. I felt like it was a second coming of like Seinfeld or whatever, because it was everywhere. Everybody talked about it. It was like it was the greatest show, and they kept winning. I think they just kept winning awards.
Yeah, they got like a bunch of seasons.
It sounds kind of short.
I think they ran out of material. What me and Haley said is that they started focusing on too many of the side stories, and it lost its way. They started focusing on folks that you really didn't care about as much. You didn't see as much of the team dynamic and all of that. So it just didn't feel like the show from the first two seasons. So, and I think they just kind of looked at it and was like, yeah, we got to stop this, because they had nowhere to go after that. So I think that's probably the best way to kind of put it.
Alrighty. So I guess it goes to me. Shout out to FAMU. It is homecoming week, so by the time this show airs, people will be recovering. It should be a national holiday the day after homecoming week, because just going back to work that Monday is a complete drag. So to all the people that are there for homecoming, I am so jealous right now. Wish I could be there enjoying, but hey, I'll see you next year. But once again, last weekend owed me nothing. The FAMU TSU game was awesome. My daughter has emotionally committed to FAM, which is so awesome. Rizzy, as our only single guy, I mean, this has been a great week for you. I mean, you got all kind of, you know, new updates and insight into the black female mind, and now you know.
Yeah. I know we're not to say, man, not
that,
to take
that makes life that much easier, bro.
Anywhere.
It's
pretty much nowhere
in now. So for anybody that doesn't know what we talk about, this is viral list going around of places women don't want to go on first dates. And so it's been 1,000 different posts and comments on it. I even reposted it because, you know, my take was that's strange. That can I take my wife 10 plus years to any of these places? Because obviously first dates deserve more than whoever you're dating, so, or whoever you're married to. So, but it's been crazy. So I think that is the biggest thing. Astros got knocked out of the playoffs, so Astros won't be in the World Series this year. A little heartbroken about that, but it is what it is.
You got the Rangers, though, right?
I mean, yeah. And I actually grew up watching the Rangers, you know, but I wasn't a huge baseball fan. So when I moved to Houston, it was easy to say, okay, you know, I grew up a football fan, so I had to stick with the Cowboys. I can't shift like that for the I could shift like that for the Rangers to the Astros, so.
Mm-hmm. Job well done to Dusty Baker. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I remember rooting for the San Francisco Giants when Barry Bonds was there and he was the manager. They came close and lost. I believe he was the general manager for the Chicago Cubs when old boy messed up that home run.
Oh yeah.
And I believe he was the manager then for them. So he came close a lot and finally broke through with the Astros. So I believe he's called it a career. So congratulations to him and wish you the best on the second half of your journey in this thing we call life, Dusty Baker.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the show then. Rizzy, is Sophia available?
She is, and she says she had a joke. So hold on 1 second. Let's see.
Hello.
Greetings, hello, young Sophia. Hello. How goes it?
Greetings. It goes very well.
Your braids look nice.
Thank
I
you.
I can hear them from here.
I've had them in for way too long.
I can hear them from here, though. All right. I heard you have a joke for us.
Yes. I always have a joke for you, though.
Yes, you do. Mm. I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. Why did the deer go to the dentist?
He had buck teeth.
How dare you?
He's on a roll.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I'll be here all day.
Now I gotta find. Okay, fine. What do dentists call their X-rays? Toothpicks.
Yeah, it's always good to have one, an extra one in the chamber. Good one, good one.
There you go.
Say quick with the blam blams. Blam blam. Yeah.
All right, I enjoyed that one.
Okay.
Love you.
Toothpicks. I like it.
All righty. Well, welcome back to Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. If you don't know what time it is, it's time for the questions. We are going to go into it. It is straight shoot for the hip. We don't know what we're going to, no one knows what the other person is going to ask. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Who's going first? Who's on first?
Probably me or you.
I went first last week.
So it would be you. I went second last week.
I want to thank the listeners for some of the feedback we got on that. I hate to call it the color purple question. I guess you can call it the strength question. Got some good feedback. Ferg, your answer really made people reflect on how they looked at their parents or loved ones and the strength that they found in themselves.
I refuse to listen to it.
You should. It's a good episode, man. And like Byron saying, your explanation and the vulnerability that you show is a big deal. I mean, a lot of people don't kind of tear up when you're talking about the strength of a parent and what they've done. So kudos to you, man.
Appreciate it.
I want to thank the listeners of Content Veil as well, powered by Inspire You on Air, the new Beat of the Bay. Make sure y'all subscribe, Three Brothers No Sense on any podcast platform, by the way. And it's getting cool outside, so we got some dope hoodies on threebrothersnosense.com. With that said, so my question last week was kind of serious, and I think I'm keeping that theme going this week. I've been asking a couple of people this throughout the week, and this question was kind of sparked by my daughter, in a sense. So she just started high school this year, and she actually had, I guess you could say, a tough day maybe last month where, you know, she just felt like the way they do their lunch wave, she's not always on the same lunch wave each day with her friends. And on some days, she's on a lunch wave where none of her friends are there. And it just kind of hit her. And she came home crying that day, like, you know, I don't have any friends. So, you know, once we got through that and she's better now, she's like, she's been making new friends and things like that. Me and Tabitha was talking and I asked her what I'm about to ask you brothers. Both of you guys were Mr. Popular. So
nope.
this question may not even apply to y'all, but if it does, what did you struggle with in high school? Was it talking to girls, resisting peer pressure, balancing resisting peer pressure versus trying to fit in, school subjects? Like, what were your struggles in high school when you look back on it?
I'll go first. Hardest part for me was shaking the nerd moniker, right? Like, it wasn't cool to be smart when we were younger. And not just smart, to be into a lot of things that today are okay. right? We talk about anime, we talk about hell, robotics and all of that. Like, it was not cool to really enjoy those things and like those things. I wasn't the super athlete, right? So I was in the band, right? I ran cross country, not regular track. So, you know, it definitely was the nerd moniker that I struggled with. And truthfully, I, you know, hang my hat to you guys. That's really where I leaned on y'all to make me feel comfortable with that, because y'all never judged me for that. Right. Y'all were just like, that's just Rizzy. And we just kept rolling and we still hung out and joked and laughed. And I wasn't relegated to the nerd group. And we know there was a nerd group, right? That there was those kids that you were like, those are the weird kids over there. And I the funny part about it is I could have fit in with the weird kids and it would have been just fine with me. But so I think that was the biggest one for me is just feeling comfortable being able to move in those different circles, and you guys showed me that I didn't have to code switch to be able to move in those circles. I was able to be myself and still hang out and have fun and enjoy life. And I think that's what a lot of kids run into is feeling comfortable in their own skin enough that they can be themselves and still make those different connections with those different groups. Right. And being able to move between the groups, whereas so many kids feel like, oh, I'm in this group and that's my only group. And that may be what Jasmine was kind of feeling. Right. It's like she had her friends and they probably all interested in the same thing. And it's easy for them to kind of hang together. And when she doesn't have that, she didn't feel comfortable getting out of her shell, going in and talking to the other kids mm-hmm. about the other stuff. And so I feel her on what she's saying. And again, I mean, I appreciate you guys for kind of bringing me in the circle, right? And joining organizations, IKSI, things like that really, really helped, because I was able to meet Ferg, who introduced me to you guys, who, you know, and so I think, like, Ferg, all the work you're doing with the lamplighters and everything like that, I think that's one of the things that we kind of miss when you're talking about those organizations is it brings those different groups together and they start to kind of watch out for each other and help each other. So appreciate you guys, man.
Nice. Awesome. Mine is, I guess, similar to yours, Rizzy, but in a different way. So for me, I don't think I was ever a nerd. I was just always different. Like, I always felt like I was middle of the road, where I just didn't lean too heavy to one side or the other. Like, I never was... I think I quoted this other day. Andre 3000 said it on Throw Some D's on the B.
Oh, ain't a hood.
Ain't a hood, but I'm from the hood, nigga. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily fit in with a lot of different groups. Like, even sometimes with my family, I feel like they looked at me differently, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, it wasn't, they didn't ostracize me, but I just didn't fit all the way in. It was something different. And then mm-hmm. even, you know, with like even you all, like even, you know, growing up, you guys can be, I liked hip hop, but I wasn't heavy into hip hop. You know, like I wasn't that guy that was, you know, I got to get the 8-ball, new 8-ball CD. I got to get this. I got to do this. Like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, you know, I'd rather go listen to some Stevie. You know, like, I was always a little different. You know, I remember I went to see Sherman a few years ago. And I forgot what I had on. But Sherman looking like, what the hell you got on? And I think you, well, I forgot who said it. And it was just like, bro, that's just Ferg. You know, like, you know, Ferg is just different. Like, people have mm-hmm. allowed me to fit in. But I fit in well enough that it's not almost like a secondary character, if that makes sense, where like the characteristics aren't as strong in a group where I can mesh and move, that it's not like it's Ferg and them. It's like, you know, let's say back in the day, they named SWAT, they might name five people. They might name me, but it's going to be like, oh yeah, Sherman, buff and fur. You know, it's not like I'm not the first person anybody ever thought about for a lot of things. And even today, it's like I feel like I'm kind of always in the middle. I'm always trying to find my way. Not that I'm seeking, but like I say this a lot. Like for some reason, I feel like I'm so normal that I'm abnormal. Like the things that I just feel are normal make me abnormal because the average person doesn't think like that or move like that or, you know, have those same thoughts. And it's like, aren't these just kind of normal thoughts? You know, like when the average person challenged this or something like that. So high school was very unique for me, like because I was smart, but like I wasn't, you know, top of the class smart. You know, so I'm not, you know, that's how I missed out on scholarships, you know, but also wasn't applying myself and doing certain things, you know. So I think the hardest thing, when I look at the hardest thing for me, was kind of fine. I felt like I had to create my own path, and so I didn't have a lot of guidance. And so when I was trying to figure out who is Ferg, and eventually I just became, you know, I used to tell people, embrace your inner Ferg, which basically meant like, just be you, like whatever it is, you know, just be you, like you don't have to fit in. I guess that's high school in a nutshell, you know? Yeah.
It's kind of like what Rozzy said. I feel like I was just blessed with a great group of friends, and that, don't get me wrong, I definitely did things that I shouldn't have been doing in high school, but it would be because I wanted to. I never felt peer pressure from any of you guys to do something that I didn't really want to do. And it was nothing like what you see on TV shows and movies. Like, come on, man, you need like if you were doing something I didn't want to do, may offer it one time. If not, cool, vote for me. That was kind of the attitude. But I just feel like you guys were a great group of friends to where I didn't really have any serious major challenges. If I had to pick high school challenges, one, it would be trying to be a mature man to a girlfriend in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you know, I'm a guy, I didn't get a lot of attention from girls, especially in middle school, or elementary, or even high school. And the few times I did, I probably would pay that attention more than I should have in having a girlfriend in high school. And so just my challenge was trying to be a better boyfriend, which is what you expect out of a grown man, a faithful grown husband, trying to be that at age 15.
And that struggle with that now. They, you know, like there's right. grown men who still struggle, you know.
So that, and just maybe just trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I think that was definitely a struggle. Like, I know for a long time I would say I wanted to be a dentist, and you know, but I
do remember.
I feel like a lot of you guys had things figured out. You know what I mean? Especially like when it came to going to college and picking careers and things like that. And I felt like I struggled with that a lot more than some of you guys did. But nothing, like I can't say enough about, and not just you two, but just, you know, the Wendells, the Shermans. And I don't even want to just name guys. Akila was a good friend in high school. Besides being my girlfriend. Yeah, Allison. Allison was a good friend. But she's just not my high school, like I, through church and middle school, so yeah. You know what I mean. But yeah, you're right. And Tabitha wasn't just my girlfriend; she was like a good friend as well at times. So any struggles that I did have, I could lean on you guys. Like when I consider you guys family, it's for a reason. I've been leaning on you guys, hanging with you guys, getting advice from you all, you know, since before I could drive.
Yeah.
And so it's continued into my 40s and to the present day. So,
and I'm glad you clarified, because I'll agree with you. Like, high school wasn't tough. Like, I wasn't struggling. Like, high school was a blast, right? Like, I had a, but when I think about it, just, you know, as an adult, reflecting back on what a child was going through, you know, and I was blessed, you know, because I definitely could have went down the wrong path and stuff like that. Really didn't do peer pressure well. Like, I think we were all strong-willed. I would say that for the most part. We were all strong-willed. We were all different. But I think we were... We enjoyed each other's company, each other's loyalty, and the fact that we just can have fun, you know? You brought up Tabitha. Like, I just... Having her around and the other ladies around, they were just fun to hang around. Like, they were like our sisters, you know?
And they did do a really good job of holding us accountable and making us better men, because they would call us out, right? Like, they would be like, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. And that actually helped us a lot, too.
We weren't men. We were kids.
I think what you said, Ferg, is what Hollywood gets wrong. Like, you said we were pretty much all strong-willed. In a movie, it would be one strong-willed character, and then there'd be a couple of weaker characters within that same group. We all were pretty much, once our mind was made up on something, you wouldn't change.
But I think what we had was unique. Like, I'm not going to say that's the norm. I mean, your dad, I remember this like it was yesterday. When we got called into the office and they was like, you just need, basically, like, you need to disband SWAT. And your dad was like, it ain't the name. Like, these guys are friends for life. Like, it's something, like, you don't see this, you know? And I think he recognized what we had, you know, that we had something special. Like, our parents would come up there looking at each other like, why are we here? Our kids are good kids. Because at the end of the day, we were all pretty good kids, you know? We were mischievous. We were teenagers growing up in Mobile, Alabama in the 90s, you know? Mm-hmm. Most of us first-generation college students. So, we're everything was on a hope and a prayer. You know, for the most part, I think all of us could agree that we were just trying to be better than our parents. And they saw that in us, that we had the potential. You know, I think Akilah's parents went to, who all parents went to college?
My mom went to Alabama State.
Yeah, because she went to college. Yeah, but like, most of us first generation college students, like, we're trying to figure it out. And so we figured out a lot together. We had fun. It was just a perfect storm. Like, it just, like, your connection to Wendell, you know, the fact that we went to Phillips together, you know, playing football, and all of us, like, realized, I ain't really with this football thing. Like, you know, Rizzy and I pledging, you know, IK sophomore year, you know, really got us close, you know, so it was just perfect little just things happening. So,
All right, cool. That's all I got, man. Shout out to the flow.
All righty.
Definitely, man.
Rizzy, go ahead and jump in. I'll go last.
All right. So, you guys know I love these little viral posts that run around. And so, one of the latest ones that I've seen actually got me to thinking. It was a hard one to decide. So, I saw a post, and the guy was like, who should have the car? I don't know if y'all have seen this one, but it basically is, dude has an extra car and his girlfriend car breaks down and his baby mama car breakdown. So he's got a kid with the baby mama that needs to get places, this, that, and the other, but he has a current relationship with his lady and she needs to get places, yada, yada, yada. And the question is, who gets the car? And so I just wanted to ask you guys, because that was one that I was like, ooh, like, you know, that's my ex. And to show my current lady that I'm putting her before her, that's kind of hard. So one of you guys' thoughts on that?
Man, this question requires so many other questions. I don't even know if we have enough time in the episode. Based off what you gave us, because I would want to know, how long has him and the girlfriend been dating? Does the baby mama have a job? Does the girlfriend have a job? Why he can't just keep the car, take one where they need to go, take the other where they need to go? Can he get an Uber for one and drive the other one? Well, with that said, what you gave us, the kid takes priority, and the kid is with the baby mama. So I'm not saying give her the car, but make sure whatever is necessary when it comes to the care for that kid, that child, is taken care of, whether that is finding a bus route for her, or arranging for someone to pick her up and take them places or whatever like that. Because I'm not saying you need to automatically, you know, risk messing up your current relationship, because that could lead to, you know, marriage or whatever like that. But if she's just a girlfriend, then your priority is that child, and you want to make sure they're taken care of while not alienating your current girlfriend. But there's so much more information I would need.
Yeah, I mean, let's make some assumptions here. The assumption is that they're serious enough that is a question, right? Like mm-hmm. The relationship is serious enough that I would hands down have to think really long and hard whether I give it to my girlfriend versus the baby mama.
Re-ask the question, because I want to make sure I have all the details.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, simple explanation. Dude has an extra car, mm-hmm. right? So he has two cars.
I missed that. So he has an extra car.
Yeah, extra car. Oh, extra car. Okay. So, and he's like, who gets the one car?
My bad.
No, I got an extra car, right? Like, I'm riding. I got an older car. I got the new car, and the older car just kind of sits, you know, that type of thing. So it's a car that's just sitting there. My girlfriend, her car breaks down, and my baby mama car break down around the same time. Who gets to drive my extra car? And like you say, it's not giving it to them. It's like, hey, until the car can get fixed, or, you know, I can get the money to get my car fixed, who gets my extra car?
All right, girlfriend gets the car. You can either, baby mama, you can either drop the child off over here and I make sure they get to where they need to go, or I can take y'all both where you need to go. Let me know what the schedule is and I'll try to work out it.
Okay.
I don't know how I missed that the first time. My bad, man. I didn't know he had an extra car.
There's a right or wrong answer, where the thing about it was funny is probably people, it's always the comments that are the most entertaining thing, where somebody is damning one side or one decision or the other. Am I correct? Were the comments just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the comments, yeah, they were trash.
So there's a couple of things at play. You know, it all depends on the situation. You know, if I'm dating someone and they should know my child, they should know the situation, there should be a understanding of, as me as a father, of my duty as a man to my child, right? And so it would be, hey, X, when are you going to get the car fixed? I need details. Like, well, I get today's, you know, I can't fix it. I get paid on the 1st, but I won't be able to fix it with this paycheck. I'll probably be on the 15th. Okay. I got you until the 15th. Right? I got you to the 15th. Because I'm going to try to help you with this car. Babe, what do we need to do to get your car fixed? You know, depending on how much it is. Because the thing about it, you're trying to help both. You know, if the X is $200 to get her car fixed and the current girlfriend has a $2,000 fix, look, you just drive this car, I'm going to help you get this $200. Like, are there other ways I can help? You know, but for my girlfriend, it's like, hey, we'll figure it out. Especially if you're staying, just come stay with me. We'll make this happen. You know, if you need to go someplace, if you really need to go someplace, you can take my car and I'll catch an Uber or whatever. Like, I'll make it happen. You know, but at the same time, I hate to say it, they're both adults. What would you do if I wasn't here? The ex but has
you are, and you got this extra car.
You know, like, you know, the you know, the ex has a car. I mean, the ex doesn't, you know, if I wasn't here and if I didn't have extra car, what would you do? Right? This is just a convenience. So like, I'm not the bad guy here. You know, do you have the money to get your car fixed? Why don't either one of you have the money to get your car fixed? You know, if it's, and it could be a quick 3-day fix, or, you know, I got the money to get my car fixed, but it's going to take them 2 weeks to get the parts in. You know, I'm willing to put myself on the back burner. You know, like I said, depending on how long she needs the car, it's like, hey, I can give you the car for 2 weeks. I'm going to give you enough time to come up with another plan, right? You're an adult. Come up with another plan. For the person I'm dating or potentially considering marrying, like, I'm showing her my leadership and my problem solving skills and my ability to, or my willingness to sacrifice for her. Because I feel like that's one of the biggest things I can do for my wife is to be willing to sacrifice. So if both of our cars broke today and Z needed a ride, she'll have the car and I'll find a way, right? Like, because that's what I'm going to do as a man. And so I want to start showing this girlfriend that we're assuming is a serious relationship those same qualities. So the ex can get the car for a certain amount of period. So a certain amount of time, like, hey, I need you to, you know, you got 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to come up with a plan. You know, babe, what do we need to do to get your car fixed? What's the timeline? Okay. Well, that's not either one of our budgets. Well, okay. Take my car for the next 2 weeks. You know, if you really need to go somewhere, I'll drop you off at work. We'll make it happen. And I'll Uber if need be. We'll work this out together, because at this point, we're a team. You know, so we got a car between us. She don't got nothing. Well, my baby don't got nothing.
Right.
So
I think that kind of ultimately is where I landed on the baby mama getting the car, mainly because my child has my first reaction, like you said, is just bring the child to me and I'll get them where they need to go. If we're in the same city, close enough, right? Like I could do that, but it may be that they live on the opposite side of the city. There's no way for me to get them over to their school and get back to work in time, that type of thing. So, you know, you got to be able to get them to school. And so that's why ultimately I landed on that, where the baby mom gets it. And like you say, I hate to say it, but if my girlfriend doesn't understand that line of thinking, that I got to make sure that my child's taken care of, then she's not the one for me.
It says something about our relationship.
Right. It really does say something about you not understanding that child's going to come first, or we got to take care of this child. And so kind of like you were saying, Ferg, it's not me having to take care of this. Me and you, girlfriend, have to take care of this child. And if that means that we let the baby mama drive the car for the next 2 to 3 weeks or a month, that's what we got to do to make sure that kid is there and taken care of. So I really lean that way, and I do look at the girlfriend like, if you got a problem with this, I don't know if we need to be together. Well, like,
would your answer be the same if it was a wife? You ain't got no kids?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, if we're married, it's the same thing, right? It's like you said, me and you, we're living in the same house. We can figure out how to share a car, versus my child and the mother of my child not having a car to get my child where they need to go. We got to figure out, you know, after school and that type of thing. I think we got to figure that out. And if we had that, so
Byron's wheels are spinning.
Yeah.
Byron's wheels are spinning.
I'm just wondering what you're saying is very reasonable and probably correct. I'm just wondering how that would play out. I'm wondering what the wife just automatically assume the car goes to her. Like, you guys are an actual union.
Right,
her
right.
Car, her part, like, I don't even think she would even ask, like, hey, my car broke down. I'm going to take the extra car. Oh, wait, no. Baby mama, her car broke down too. I was going to let her get it.
Hold on.
I just think that I don't think it's going to be a smooth transition. conversation.
Yeah, and that's strange because you said that the kid's gonna be your priority, you know, and we've had this conversation before. For me, my wife is always gonna be first, you know, because I have to show her that, you know,
emotional support, that type of thing. But when we're talking like life, your wife's not your wife and your spouse should be making those, you know, they've got to make the sacrifices for the kids. Like that's what we do as adults and as parents. You're going to make the sacrifice for the kid. And the problem is that you're making a sacrifice for the kid by sending a car outside of the household. that's a hard sacrifice like to do. I get it.
We know how I feel.
I already don't like that.
If you want to give my car that's got my name on it too. Yeah. That's a hard one, man. I was torn with it because, like you said, there's so many different variations and kind of like you have to know more information, right? You can't just make it, but that's how these memes are, right? Like these questions come up and it's like, oh, I'm going to give you just this little sliver of information and then you can go off and make your own scenario and kind of try to figure it out from there.
And how Ferg says it, that's what the Bible says, right? You're supposed to put your spouse first and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
We've already debated that.
Yeah, I mean, and also Bible times, infant mortality was like 70% or something like that. Like it was a big thing for a kid to actually make it to adulthood.
I'm a firm believer. If me and my spouse were okay, just like even when you started, you and Tabitha had a conversation about Jasmine. You collectively came together as parents because you guys have a foundation and a good enough relationship. When parents ain't talking and it's just a lot of turmoil in the house, like it's a separation. I've seen it, you know. And when the parents are together and focusing on each other like that, the kids are going to thrive. And it shows like two parent households where people focus, like it's a blessing, especially, you know, if between you and Jasmine, I mean, between you and Tabitha, Jasmine's going to be okay. I'm not worried about her at all. Right. You know, will you be married in 10 years? That's the challenge, right? That's the focus. You know, Jasmine's going to be out the house in 5-6 years.
Well, yeah, as they get older, then the dynamic.
But a lot of times, by that time, the marriage has already faltered for a lot of people.
I think,
like, you do a good job.
I think maybe not you, but when people hear my take on it, they automatically assume you're neglecting your spouse. So I'm like, no, still date you. I just think maybe I shouldn't say the kid comes first. It's kind of like this example Ryzen gave. It depends on what's going on at the time. You know what I mean? Like, who needs me at this given time?
So the example I always use is we're all adults. We get tired. We work and stuff like that. So sometimes we neglect each. Like, if Jasmine had to stay up and work on a science project to 2 o'clock in the morning, and say that was Tab's specialty, you know, she would stay up with her, right? Tired or not, she's going to stay up with her. But if your relationship is struggling and you're going through something and you, like, every time you wanted to talk, the sex, like, I'm always tired. I'm always, like, you're not too tired for the kids, but you're always too tired for me. You know, you got a headache when it comes to the kids, but you get it done. And you have, like, what about me? You know, like, I can take a soft voice or like I can check my attitude with you. I mean, with the kids, but I can't do that same thing with you. Like, do you give your spouse that same grace, that same energy that you automatically give the kid? The kids are easier to love because they just, you know, they ain't going to hit you low like your wife might do one day. But at the end of the day, it's, do we put that same energy? I've asked people this all the time, like, what makes you a good husband? What makes you a good wife? And a lot of people mix the two. Like, I'm a good wife because I'm a good mom, yada, yada. That's completely different. You know, like you associate being a parent with and it's kind of top of mind for a lot of people, being a parent with being a good spouse. I'm like, you can't even think about what makes you a good spouse. Like, you and Tabitha communicate, you date, you do, like, I respect what you guys have. So I don't, the semantics, like, I don't see you ever neglecting her. But there's people, like, I know people, you know, I know women that they almost look like their husband as like another child. Like, you know, I gotta cook for the family, and it's, you don't have those same joys of doing things for the other person that you have for the kids. Like, you'll make all the sacrifices in the world for your kids, you know, but that's a whole nother conversation. Let's jump into it. We got enough time for the last question.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we got plenty.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. Got plenty.
Take a second, Rizzy Buff. Look at the video. So I just posted a video and it was a gentleman talking about the duties of the school versus the parents. And it seems like he has a very strong belief that education, formal education, starts and stops with the school. he also seemed like he had some questions about the curriculum and what they were teaching the kids. But it seemed like, hey, when kids come home, there shouldn't be homework. I said, my kids ate school 8 hours. He sent his kids to private school. I pay your salaries. Our taxes paid for the school and all this stuff. So there's parents that truly believe that they shouldn't have to help the kids with work. And especially if I got to learn something new, why would I do that? What are your thoughts or on the responsibilities of the school/education system versus the responsibilities of the parent? Is that a good way to word this question?
Yeah, I think so. Well, are you asking specifically about homework, or are you just
in general, like, is it all on the education system, the school, to teach your kids, period? Because they might not have the homework, but they still got to study. Like, it's, you know, it seems like they, in the 8 hour shift, they should learn everything they need to learn, and they shouldn't have anything to do with it. Anybody want to go first?
You want to go first? Well,
I can appreciate his unorthodox way of thinking, but I'm going to have to, and it was very passionate too, how he did it, but I'm going to have to disagree with him for a couple of reasons. Yeah, they have 8 hours, but once you factor in lunch and all these different subjects and things they're trying to learn, it's really, sometimes it's not enough time in the day, and they need that extra time at home to work on things. And to be honest, in the real world, there are jobs where you have to work on stuff once you get home. You can come with that attitude of, my work stays here, I don't take my work home, and then you'll find your out of a job or not getting that promotion or that raise or whatever. So I get it. Lord knows I don't like doing homework with my child and things like that. And if it's something that's like all the time, every day, then yeah, that is a problem. Because I don't believe in giving kids too much homework, too many projects like that. But every once in a while, it's going to take those extra hours, hopefully not hours, but minutes or whatever like that at home, or maybe sometimes hours. It may take that. And if you want to excel, it may not even be necessarily homework. It could be just, you know, studying or working on it just to be better, more efficient at what you're working on in school. We say practice makes perfect. It's not practice one time and you got it. No, you learn it in school. You go over in school, you go over some more at home. The key is repetition. And so that is part of parenting, kind of like what we've kind of spoke about on this episode as far as parenting. That's part of parenting. Part of parenting is preparing your child as best you possibly can for adulthood. And part of adulthood is sometimes doing stuff you don't feel like doing. Like he mentioned, we got stuff to do at home. Yeah, I'm sure you do have stuff you want to do at home, but sometimes you got to prioritize. And that's what homework and projects and stuff can be sometimes.
Yeah, agree. We have to temper the homework, right? Like you say, if your child's taking 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a night on homework, there is an issue there.
Because now it's a part-time job.
Right. Now, but an hour and a half a day is not too much to ask, right, for those children. Because what it does is it reiterates what they learned that day, make sure they understand the material, they're doing it themselves or with a little bit of assistance from you, and then they can take it back to the teacher, and the teacher can check, do they know it, do they understand it, what's problems with it, those types of things. So that's the other part about it is, the teacher doesn't have enough time to sit and give the children check on learnings and let them kind of work on it and then check behind them throughout the school day. And so you need that time for the child to be able to sit down, take as long as they need to try to get through it. And then the teacher can look at it the next day and say, okay, they got it or they don't, and that type of stuff. So homework serves a very huge purpose. You already talked about the repetition of it all and making sure that they have that. And the other part about that is the teachers have to teach to kind of the general audience and to the median of the class. There are kids that don't take homework home at all. I have one right here. Sophia hardly ever has homework, right? She's like, yeah, I do that, you know, before we get out when we have free time or whatever. She does her homework there. When we were in high school, right, I never did my homework after school because it was always done while I was still in school. And then I have Ollie that we do have to sit down for 20, 30 minutes a night going over homework and that type of thing. So it just really depends on the child. And the teacher can't give homework based on like where what level they are. If that kid is taking 3 or 4 hours, maybe you need to get a tutor for your child if it's taking that long, right? Or have that conversation with that teacher, like, yo, this is way too much homework, right? If the class is saying that, and so or all the classes, because when you get into middle school, high school, right, it's you have every different class and every different class want to give some homework. So I think that's what ends up happening, where the kids have 3 hours of homework because they have 6 classes and they have homework from all 6 classes. And so you do have to start tempering that and go to up to the school and talk through that if it's too much like that. But the teachers have to try to balance that out and figure it out for every child in that class. And if your child is taking that long, you got to figure out, is it the child, is it that, or is it too much homework, and go down that route. But saying that, oh, the kid should never have homework, I think that's the wrong answer. And you as a parent gotta figure it out. If you can't figure it out and you can't go and learn and try to help your child, maybe you do need to go get a tutor that can help them or whatever, if you don't want to take that time.
But I can't afford a tutor, Roger.
I get it. That's why you got to spend that extra time. I hate to say it. It costs to be poor. And so, you know, they talk about the poor tax all the time, but this is another example of the poor tax. It's like, you can't afford the tutor, but you want your child to get that assistance. So guess what? Now you got to do it. Or you got to get them in a program that can do it, right? And look for programs out there. And there are programs out there that can do that. But that's that sacrifice that you got to make as a parent. You decided to have them. And so you got to step up. And this is part of educating them. So when you talk about the responsibility of school versus home, I think it's the 100% a partnership. And the responsibility falls on the parent to make sure the child is getting educated. And that means that if I got to go in and help the child after school, if I got to get them a tutor, whatever. But, you know, if the teacher is teaching and 60-70% of the class is getting it, 80% of the class is getting it, your child's not, then I'm sorry, it's not the teacher, it's you. You know, and sitting on a board, I see the results, and we actually look at, do teachers, you know, what this class and what this teacher, did they hit their growth numbers versus this class and that teacher, and did they hit the growth numbers? And if they didn't, then we look at it. I mean, teachers turn over a lot, where they don't get their contracts renewed and stuff like that, just based off of the metrics of, hey, your class, 60-70% of your class aren't making their growth numbers. So obviously there's something wrong with you, teacher, not the kids. And so that's where, you know, that there's that balance there, but there's ultimately a responsibility on the parent to make sure it's happening.
Yeah. So you said a mouthful. So there's a couple of things. I'm not going to assume all teachers are great teachers. I will assume that all teachers have a hard job. I will make that assumption. Mm-hmm. All teachers aren't great teachers. And they're, like you said, and I'm glad you brought up those numbers where, you know, if your consistent fail rate, and sometimes it can also be depending where you're at, right? Location, location, location. Yeah. You know, if you're in a underserved, poor neighborhood where there's not that much money going to education, and there's parents that can't afford, you know, to teach, I mean, to help their kids with their homework, because a lot of, you know, with the common living, current living wage in America, and a lot of people have to work 2 or 3 jobs.
Yep.
You know, we have to factor in a lot of things. So it's the fact that we start with this. For me, he was talking about the chores and everything else the kids have to do. For me, the most important thing for my kids is education. Right? So if you're like, okay, well, you have an hour and a half for the chores and you can't get those done because you're spending an hour and a half on homework, I got a problem. If I can't help with your homework, guess what I can do with? Probably can help you with your chores. You know, like,
right.
You know, it's the fact that, and, you know, because we have kids, you know, helping raise families. You know, you got somebody who probably should be doing homework because the parents have to work 2-3 jobs. you got a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, you know, that come home from school, probably
cooking
have
dinner.
To get dinner started, help their little brothers and sisters with their homework before they can sit down and do that stuff. Got to let kids be kids. And part of that is their education. And for, you know, and it's not everybody. The dude seemed like he seemed educated. So, but there's, like I said, there's people who probably lack education. My wife works at an alternative school, and a lot of the parents feel their thoughts on education is they have a very negative take on education, and they want the teachers to do it all. And it becomes like a generational thing, right? You're not big on education. Your kids aren't big on education. You want the school to teach it all. You can't, you're working 2-3 jobs. Well, I got to work 2-3 jobs, da da da. Maybe if your kid gets the right education, maybe we can stop this. Maybe we can stop that them having to work 2-3 jobs. And at some point there has to be a focus on education to break the, generally to break that chain where now your kid gets a good education. They go off to college, because to me, all of it's prep. Like Sky's in the third grade. She's 8 years old. Homework doesn't take that long if she has it, you know. By middle school, she's going to have more. By high school, she's going to have even more. But it's prepping you for college and everything else. It's going to just continue. It's going to continue to get harder. It's not like they're just like they just want to give you homework, because teachers don't want to grade it. I can guarantee. I know teachers. They don't want to grade that stuff. You know, now there are some bad teachers out there. Don't get it twisted. But we have to focus on like how to. The homework's important. The education's important. The emphasis on helping your kids. It's not even homework. Study and, you know, spelling tests. I go over all the spelling words with her. You know, I help Sky study for all her tests. Right? I make sure she's prepared as she can be. Like, when she doesn't do as well on the test, I feel like I failed as well. Because the teacher has 25 kids. Whatever. I got 2 kids.
Yep.
If, you know, if I can't take 30, 45 minutes to focus on my 2, why would I expect more from you? Yeah, I just wish there was a, we stayed in a world where parents had the ability to be home and help kids with homework and stuff like that. When you had that traditional family and, you know, life, you know, people worked the 9-to-5 and you're done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you would have to speak to my daughter's school, but they have it to where they have almost like built-in homeroom sessions each day that's dedicated to doing homework. Because their goal is to try to not have that kid bring homework home. And that's one of the things I learned when I went to the orientation or whatever, parent day or whatever it was called. But if schools can do that, I think that would help a lot.
And let's be honest, like Byron, I'm glad you brought that up. Because if we had that at John L. LaFleur circa 1997, what would you have done during that hour?
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't like having homework. So I definitely try to do my assignments before
half
I go.
The people.
Or take a nap.
Exactly. Half the people don't take advantage of this stuff. Like, we just assume our kids are going there to school and doing everything they're supposed to do. But
that could be the school and the teacher's retort to what he's going off about. Hey, we get them time to do homework. They bring 6 hours worth of homework home. That's on them. You need to talk to them.
You know, that kid that, you know, how many times did you stay up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning finishing a paper?
Ooh, rare. It had to be an important paper.
You know?
It had to be very
I was a procrastinator. And it was, I spent all this time. I feel like this is stupid. But you know what? You gave me an assignment a month ago. I waited till the week of to go to Tomerville Library to get my books, put my notes together, get my flashcards, and put a paper together.
Kids schedule.
Yeah, we assume that the kids are always doing the right thing. And we're always going to take up for our kids. But at the same time, you got to look at, like, are they utilizing the resources? Maybe if you don't want homework, you need to talk to your kid like, hey, you need to make sure that when they give you time to do it, that you do it. That you don't, I got your syllabus. You got a paper due and, you know, the week before Thanksgiving. Where are we at on that paper? I haven't started yet. Why haven't you started yet? like those are the things that you can help with a parent as parents and not to make sure that the kids are doing all the stuff. And sometimes, you know, there is a disconnect. There's probably more times when we want to admit that the school could do better. You know, so it is what it is.
Yep. Get involved with your PTO, because that's a lot of what drives that. PTOs are the ones, and that is the parent's voice back to that school. So if you have that big concern, make sure you're talking to that in the PTO, and make sure the PTO is having that conversation with the principal, and they can drive a lot of that too. If as a group you guys are feeling like there's too much homework, that's your route to get to them.
Yeah, I think about Coach Carter, where all those parents came and they were they're complaining about the wrong thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, I'm making your kids do homework and all this stuff. My kids on the basketball team play basketball, you know, not to get a better education. Well, you know, so, all right, let's go ahead and close it on out.
Two things I got. First off, happy birthday, Jaclyn. Y'all know Halloween is my favorite favorite holiday of the year. Yeah. So happy Halloween to everybody, and her birthday's on Halloween, so never forget that one. So happy birthday, Jaclyn. The other thing is the NBA is being investigated. Huh? What?
We gonna leave out the birthday girl?
Ooh.
Thank you, Buck, for being good.
Jazz. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. So
Jaclyn and not Jasmine.
I figured Buff.
I got it.
So, but with that, the only other thing I got, man, is the NBA is being investigated for trying to sabotage the Big Three. I don't know if you guys have heard that. So, that's another one that, you know, I just don't understand how companies are so anti-competition, where they would just try to organization that really isn't even trying to challenge them at all, right? They play at different times. There's not the same rules, and so I'm just not getting it. But I hope they get what they deserve, man, and hope that the Big Three and Ice Cube and everybody that's involved with that can come out on top, man, because he's doing really good things, and actually have watched a couple games, and they're actually pretty exciting. So it's one of those things. It's a little bit of a cross between regulation and street ball. So it's a lot more fast paced. I don't know how long that's going to survive, but it's pretty good to watch. So if you haven't seen a Big Three game, go out and check it out, man. But I just hate that the NBA is kind of trying to come for them. So hopefully we can stop it.
Okay. So when you hear this recording, it'll be Monday. So as Rozzy said, happy birthday to my daughter, Jasmine, who turns 15 on Tuesday. And happy birthday, Jaclyn, two Halloween girls. So, when you hear this episode, my pockets would have been ran. We got dinner tomorrow, and all the other gifts that I'm getting.
Are you taking it to any place on the list?
No, this is not a chain restaurant. It's definitely not a chain restaurant. But I think it would be approved. It would pass that stupid list that I'm tired of seeing on social media, which has been taken out of context, because there is a difference in a first date versus taking someone you've been dating for 10 years or married to. But we'll get into that at a different time. So happy birthday to those two young women. I just watched the first part one of the interview with Jay-Z, Gayle King and Dope. Jay-Z. And I knew I wanted to go to the Book of Hov exhibit. But after watching it, I have to go. So I'm going to do a day trip to New York. I didn't realize how in-depth this exhibit was.
Yeah.
And since that interview, I've been listening to nothing but Jay-Z all day. And I have to make my way up there. Very dope. And it's got me thinking of other artists that I would like to see this happen for one day. So it looked very dope. I can't wait to watch part two of the interview as well. And last but not least, the house has a speaker. Speaker, Mike Johnson.
So I just want to say how frustrated I am that I've been to New York twice in the last month and haven't had a chance to go either time. So Yeah, I'm
You just didn't want to go.
You big money. Fly up there.
Yeah, flies up there, Rising.
You laughing, but yeah. I really did think about.
Hey man,
Rising. Hey. Flies up there.
Let me know what weekend you doing it.
I got you. Yeah. Because
you said us. He ain't hearing that us point.
He gonna fly him.
He flew me out to see the Book of Hope.
What I might do is I may fly to DC, maybe that Friday, and then we want to take a day trip, and then I'll fly back from DC. So let me know. I'm thinking. So let me know.
Doesn't help me at all.
Then I don't have to see that. That's not even that expensive. I can use my reward points for the flight, and then I can stay with Buff. It's not even that bad.
I was gonna say. Oh yeah, I definitely was gonna hit on the Book of Hove. I saw the interview and was like, that's dope.
It looks dope.
His presence and the questions is just like, I just gained more and more respect from him. Like he just seems like a, you know, good guy.
Goat.
What else? Oh yeah, the goat.
Agreed.
I don't know if I have to come. I might have to wait then. I was gonna try Mambo sauce from McDonald's, but if I'm gonna come to DC, I might have to wait and get some real Mambo sauce. Is it worth it, Razzy? I mean, Buff.
I haven't had McDonald's Mambo sauce, but Mambo sauce in general is good. So you definitely should try it if you can find it. Because the coworkers I've been talking to haven't been able to find it.
Just in regular restaurants, or are you talking about just in McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get Mambo sauce anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm coming to DC for this Book of Hove, you know, maybe I just need to wait.
They may not be selling it in DC. Kind of think about it.
So I said Mambo sauce. That shout out once again to the Bruds Bookshelf. So that analysis they had. The conversation we had made me go start listening to The Color Purple because I'm excited about them. The new release that comes out, I want to say Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in December.
So I'm definitely going to that. But listening to the book as an adult, even in the first 10 minutes, like it's different. Like she mm-hmm. wrote that book, bro. Like she, like it's, if you go listen to it, you'll be like, wow. Like even just, we talked about her strength. There was a point where she was talking to Sophia and she was like, you can do what I can't do. And she was like, what was that? She's like, you can fight. I don't know how to fight. Only know how to survive. And it's just like when you start thinking about how people are wired, and some people aren't just fighters. And and it's way worse. She had it way worse than I thought she did.
If you watch the movie thinking that it was bad, the book is 10 times worse for what she went through. So
with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.